Okay, we are up to Simen Chaf Ches. Halacha Vav. The laws of Chidushas Sifrei Torah. Again, one more time, Simen Chaf Ches, Halacha Vav, is on page Kuf Samach Aleph. Kuf Samach Aleph, Ein Zerkin Kisvei Kodesh, you're not allowed to throw. Be very careful with the Chidushas of Sfarim. You're not allowed to toss them around. Just pass me a sitter. You don't go throw a sitter across the room. Pass me a bencher. Okay, you had a Shabbos table. Pass me a bencher. That's a nisayon, right? That's a nisayon. You cross the table. You have to hand. You're not allowed to throw a toss. It's a zilzel to throw a bencher across the table. Ein zarkin bread. You're supposed to throw the bread. People get carried away when it comes to the Mohitz Lechem and Aretz. So you're supposed to throw a little bit, just a little bit. Why? Because that's how they brought the korbanos. When they brought a korban in the mizbeach, they would toss it from the ram. That's how it's supposed to be done. From the ram to the other side, to the center of the mizbeach. So bread, there is such a concept, such an inyan to toss bread, but you don't get carried away. You don't want to go toss the bencher from one end of the table to the other end of the table. Here it says, "Ein kaisim kisvei kodesh." Afilu halachas v'agadus. Even halachas v'agadus. Forget about sifrei Torah, of course, and the Nevi'im and Ketubim. Not even allowed to throw svarim, which have a collection of halachas and agadus. You're not allowed to turn it upside down, right? You're not allowed to go take a sefer. When you walk out, you're not allowed to do this. That is forbidden. You find them upside down, or you're not allowed to put them. What he means is you're not allowed to take a sefer and put the sefer upside down, right? You're not allowed to put the sefer upside down. Right, keep the sefer right side up. Don't go and put a sefer upside down.
What sefer can you put on top of it?
So we learned last week, Chumashim go on top of Nevi'im and Ksuvim.
Where does the Gemara go?
Gemara underneath Tanakh. Tanakh goes on top. Tanakh goes on top. Among Tanakh first goes Chumashim. Nevi'im and Ksuvim does not make a difference. Either or, one can go on top of the other. But Chumashim go all the way on the top. On top of that goes Gemara, and everything is the same. Everything is the same. No, Chumash is the top. Someone once told me, this is a very interesting story, someone told me, there's a certain organization, just goes to, whatever this organization is, that it's borderline Orthodox. And I don't know if it's conservative, whatever it is, and they have a website. And it's a little school out of town somewhere, and then he knows for a fact that they're not really... They're not 100%. Things they do there are not 100%. But they present themselves as being, you know...
traditional.
100%, no. They present themselves as being traditional. 100%. So he went to their website to check it out. He was curious. He went to the website. Somehow he came across the website, and he was looking at the website, and he's looking at the curriculum. It's very impressive. It's very good. He's looking. He can't find the smoking gun. Everything there looks... it's Kedas Torah. Everything there is halacha, curriculum, the teachers, this, that, but he knows there are problems in this place. He can't find on the website the smoking gun. Finally, he found the smoking gun. What was the smoking gun? He saw a picture, and the boys were learning together, and in the background, there was a pile of svarim. Like in any yeshiva, you know, you go to yeshiva, pa'ola, and on top of the svarim, there was a can of Coke. A can of Coke sitting on top of the sefer like this. Just, that was it. That was the smoking gun, because in a yeshiva, that would never happen. In a yeshiva, okay, they speak Lashon Hara. They do this. They get into trouble. But in the base medrash, you would never see. You'll see svarim lying all over the place.
Right.
You would never see in a base medrash, in a real base medrash from a real traditional. You'll never see a can of soda, a can of Coke, sitting on top of a sefer, and just leave it alone.
So what?
There was no mitzvah. It was a curiosity. There was no mitzvah. He knows that there's a problem. He knows that there's a problem with this. There's a reputation that this is not 100%. This organization, what they're doing, that. But why? You know what's wrong? We're doing everything halacha. Oh, and that. That it came out in that area. So something very, very simple. You're not allowed.
Well, I had a worker.
Because
the seder is
the sperm up on the table, way out of
right, sink. Right, right, right.
Well, yeah, they're just laying, you know, a Gemara on top of a boat. Yes.
I was davening mitzvah by land now.
Yeah.
Now they have the art scroll. They have these soft Gemaras.
Yeah.
You know, for one parak at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the guy's holding it like this, bent back over itself. Mm-hmm. I said, Rabbi Miller, that's how I always said.
Maybe if I would
more, if you want.
Can I do that?
Water with it.
In other words,
it's not. But there are different stories. There's the famous story. They took a chassid. They take a kid. They dressed him up like a chassidish bacher, and they taught him balpeh, mishnayis, gemara, and they brought him to the rebbe, and the rebbe to faher him. It was a guy, and he came out of the office, and he was, you know, perfect imitation. And the rebbe said, "He's not. There's something wrong here." How did the Rebbe detect? He doesn't shuckle. He doesn't shuckle.
I heard
it's
that.
Something that's inborn. There's a certain nature that's inborn. Okay, Moshe. A little kid. This little kid.
If you don't shuckle, you're not a Jew. If you don't shuckle, you're not a Jew.
He was able to detect. You can learn a lot about a person's Yerushalayim in the way he treats Sfar. If you nizar in the certain kedusha sarm, that's a whole different league. Ein zark in kisei hakodesh afilu halachs agonis v'yosel ha'apoychen oisan al tneim. Not necessarily today. The swarm stores are much, much better than years ago. It depends where you go. Bigelizen is still pretty tight in there. But if you go to Eichler's, there's no zilzil, at least out in the front. Maybe you go back in the back room. You go back in the back room, but out in the front in Zindel Berman and in Eichler's and in the Tverestam, it's very about Kovadik. If you go to you go in the warehouse, a different story. Tell us further.
If you find the sefer
afuchin tzarech lanichon kuroi, don't say it's not my problem. You come into shul, you see the sefer upside down, you have an obligation that the sefer should be properly positioned in the bakovedik away. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's go further. No, there's nothing here on the bottom. We already did this. Okay, now we go to halacha zayin. Halacha zayin. Now this ain lahash the mayim if neitzam. You have to go back 100 years ago where it was very common to mash the mayim publicly even. Okay, so we at Baruch Hashem we have very high standards today, but not so long ago they were not such high standards when it came to be mashed in mayim. Ain lahash the mayim if neitzam. It's prohibited to be mashed in the presence of swarm. Well, eis tzarech al kaponim yimunochem gevayim yitvachem. At least they should be 10 tzvachem above the ground because of the mitzaytzes. Because when the mayim, the meraglayim hit the ground, it splashes, makes a hiss, splashes back, and it makes things in its vicinity wet. So therefore, if the svarim are in the vicinity of the meraglayim, it's going to get dirty from the meraglayim. So if at least it's 10 tzvach above the ground, you could hope that it's not going to get dirty from the meraglayim. Okay, next halacha ches ein. Lasos, one is not, there's a, let's see over here, I'm sorry, there's one little thing, test. Ein lashmaim avnei esuam, v'shal shuv v'shal avin yukara, v'shal shuv v'shal sham, nishalu oidos ha-tanach v'shal kodesh ha-nas ma'idei meleches ha-photographia, v'oisois ketanos, v'ein nirus le'naim, rak ha-idei ha-klim, talking about microfilm. Right through microfilm. Al Yidei Migdal Harois. Imut. Okay, reading glasses?
Magnifying
glasses. Okay, so. Rak Yidei Migdal Harois. Imut Linog Bacham Minig Bezoyin. You have something that's extremely small. So I think it means microfilm. Microfilm, the only way you can really see this. You have something which is. Okay, whatever it is. It's not nearly Nayim regular. The only way you can see it is only through magnifying glass. You have to have the same Kedusha as a regular Swarim. Helusham de Osir Shagam Ksav Shayn Nikar Rak Yidei Pulu Khoshav. Tremendous chiddush. Even though the only way you can see it is only through a magnifying glass, being that it's still called a ksav and has kedusha, and you have to be careful not to mezalzel in its kedusha. Excellent. So here he brings down from. So it seems to be a kind of, here he brings down in the Piskei Tshuvos. He brings down what about discs? What about electronic format? If you have it on a, say, a hard drive, I have a hard drive. It's a chachma, but it's a hard drive. It has kotel kula. Do you have to be nizer? So he says no. It's not called ksiva. Electronic format, he is of the opinion, is not called ksiva. Therefore, you can throw it in the garbage. If you have something that is on a disc, a CD, let's say I have CDs, MP3s, right? Today, big people have stacks of tapes. So can you throw the tapes in the garbage? Can you throw the CDs in the garbage? He says yes. That's what he says. He brings down B'Shem Achronim. What? Okay, so the problem is today, tapes already, no one wants tapes anymore. Tapes are out. That's it, it's finished. CDs are almost, they're kemat, they're on the way out. Another 2-3 years, they'll be gone. Everything today is MP3. MP3, it's everything is on a flash drive. So, what do you do with all this?
That's why I have an old Raven car.
So what do you do with all these things? They have essentially the tapes, okay, the CDs, even the CDs. What do you do with this? So in Nikaradin, you can throw in the garbage. He does bring down a shiloh, but what about on this on the CD? There's a label. It says, by Franz, by Reisman, by Burl Wine. So it says the topic. It says the name. So he said, that's right. So you shouldn't be mezalzel. The bezoyin, a terrible bezoyin, that would be disgraceful. But meikar hadin, there's no need to be nizer. There's no kiddusha, and if you need to dispose of it, so you dispose of it. You put it in a plastic bag and you throw it in the garbage. Just don't throw. Don't be mezalzel in an open way. But meikar hadin, it doesn't have kiddusha. It's not like svarim, and he seems to say that anything over here, he says anything which is written, even though you can only view it through a glass, through some type of magnification. To some degree, does have kedusha, and you should be nizer in its kedusha. Okay, let's go further. Halacha ches. Ein lasayis. We know this nalem nogias this manazeh. Ein lasayis mapos umiilim ledavish abkedusha midavish neshlamish bohedyot. It seems that years ago they would use things. They would take a tablecloth from your house and you use it for a paroches. Let's say you're very. They need a pareches in the Beis HaKnesses, and there's no material, no one wants to sponsor a new pareches. So the only thing you can get hold of is someone's private tablecloth. A tablecloth that was used on someone's dining room table. Are you allowed to use it for the pareches in the Beis HaKnesses, or as a mantle, or a map in the Beis HaKnesses? So he says, no, that's a zilzel. You only can use for a Sefer Torah something that's new. Don't use something that was once used for Dover Chol. Do not attempt to upgrade it for Kedusha. That is a disgrace. Malam HaKadosh, which already has Kedusha. In other words, you're using it for Tefillin, and now you want to use it for a Sefer Torah. So since it already was used for one degree of Kodesh, now you can upgrade it to a higher degree of Kodesh. But if in the past it was used for Chol, for mundane purposes, that's a disgrace to take something that was set aside for chol and to use it for a davar shebe kedusha. Ein lasos mapos u'menilim covers and different coverings. L'davar shebe kedusha midavar shenishlamish bo hedyot u'v'diaved shekvar nasu. If it already was done, someone did not ask the shayla. They just took their dining room tablecloth and they used it as a paroches. If it's done, it's done. Don't take it down. Avol midavah shenishtamish bo lavodas kachav, but it goes without saying that if they go in from a church, the shul buys a church, and they upgrade the church into a shul, and they find lying around in the basement some nice material that was once used for the avodah zarah, and they want to go use it now for the paroches. That's not the right thing to do. Yeah.
Is it a shulchan
mizbeach? Is a shulchan?
Table.
Yeah.
Tablecloth, he's trying to say.
No, not the same thing. It's not the same. Even though our dining room tables, we treat like a mizbeach. But that's only in what? It's not a real mizbeach. It just means that you should be nizer when you eat. It's not right. It's not a real mizbeach.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go further. But if it was used for the Zohar, of course, it is also. Now, what does it say over here? There is nothing over here. I marked off. I have another one at home. I don't remember what I marked off. Okay, he does say that if you make a shinui, then it can be, it's okay. Okay, let's go further. Halacha test. Also, l'shtamesh b'sefer lehanosoi kigoin lahamida lehogin b'nei hachamid. Now let me use a sefer for your own private benefit. In other words, the sun is coming in and you stand up the sefer so it will block the sun rays. Kigoin lahamida lehogin b'nei hachamid. Oy kidei shelo yireh haver mashu oyseh in yeshiva. I don't want the Rebbe to see what I'm doing, so you stand up the Gemara to block someone's view. Aval im. Now here is the chiddush. Aval im hashemesh. The reason why I want to block the sun is because I want to learn. I want to learn this sefer, and the sun is in my eyes. I want to stand up this sefer so I can learn this sefer. Is that permitted? I'm not doing it for private. I'm not doing it to read the newspaper. I'm not doing it to read my cell phone. I'm doing it in order so I can read this sefer. Is that permitted? So he says, "B'shas hatchak it's okay." Avu mashemesh lerachas ala sefer shul lemiboy mutar lehagen the sefer acher kevan she'eno isel lehanasu. You're not doing it for private. Whatever you're doing, know that you can learn. V'chein lehaniach. Sefer Tachas Sefer, you want to elevate. It's too low. It's very common. You're in shul and you want to be able to see what it says. So you want to use another siddur. Can you do so? L'niach Sefer Tachas Sefer Shaya Lema Bukhdi Lagbiyo Tlutzach Alimud Yesh Lehatir. It's mutter. Aval Ein L'niach Sefer B'Sech Sefer Acher Shleitzach L'chapes Tachakach Mokum Limud. Let's say you're going out. You finished for today. And tomorrow you're going to come back to the Beis Medrash. And you don't want to go through the tirch of finding the page. So you want to use another book as a page mark, as a bookmark. That is forbidden. That's called a zilzal. Shlo yitzach l'chabes achakach mokam l'mudo v'lo next halacha. Now this is not a gear as man azeh. What?
Allow use the bookmark as a book.
Of course, the bookmark is made to be a bookmark. Yeah, exactly. But you now use a book as a bookmark. Don't take a safer and put it under. Don't take a bencher. Don't take a bencher and put it into your safer to serve as a bookmark. That's not the right thing to do. Now this is not a gear as man azeh, but in ancient times they would make their own notebooks. They had white paper and they would make you would make lines. You sartet, you would draw lines in order to know where to write. So when you have blank paper and you want to make lines so you can write neatly, but at the point, and what are you going to write on the paper? You're going to chidush Torah. I'm going to use the paper after I make the lines. I'm going to chidush, but right now, this point in time, it's still blank paper, and I want to make the lines on top of a sefer. Here's a sefer. I have a chidush. I want to write down my chidushim. I have a blank piece of paper. I'm going to write my chidush. Before I write my chidush, I'm going to make lines. Don't make the lines on top of a sefer because you're being mezalzel in the sefer by drawing lines on a blank piece of paper. But you'll ask, but I'm doing this for the purpose of writing chidush Torah. Yeah, when you'll write the chidush Torah, then the paper will get its sanctity. But at this point in time, the paper has no sanctity because you have not yet written anything down. And the hachana of making lines, that's not called a sanctification of the paper, so it is forbidden.
You write translated words in the chumash.
If you want, yeah, yes, yes. Why not? Definitely, why not? Why not? Absolutely, why not? Definitely, if you want to do so, why not? Ein laniach. At the point in time when you're writing it has no kedusha, and being that it has no kedusha, another halacha. Okay, this is another people nichshel in this. Don't put blank paper in your sefer. Right, you're saving paper. People do this all the time in yeshiva. You have blank paper because you're planning on writing notes every day. There are shiurim, so I want to have paper ready. Where do I store the paper? In the Gemara, it says you should not do that. It's a zilzul. V'chein lo yaniach niyar uchadoyme b'sefer l'mishmeres. It's not the right thing to put in your sefer, to store in your sefer, in your Gemara, blank paper in preparation for the notes that you plan on writing tomorrow in the later shiurim. People are nichshulness. They do this all the time, and obviously it's not right. Okay, let's see what it says here. We left out the halacha yud mapos. Let's see what it says over here in the shiurim mitzionim. Halacha yud. Napois umiilim ayin b'shaylus etshuvas chasam sefer the kli kodesh yishenim shreitzim lachlifam kachadoshim vayishenim yatzu luchulin sheyir reshus l'marcham helosham detzarch mikodim lachal lakli kodesh hayishenim al moos v'yiknu mimenu chadosh. You have a utensil. Utensils used for holy purposes. Now, what kind of holy purposes? I do not know. I don't know what it's referring to. It was used for kodesh. Now you got a new one and you want to sell the old one. If you want to sell the old one, are you allowed to do so? So he says, yes, but before you do, you should redeem it upon money. Okay, I don't know how this Nagei Lachol Mais B'Shan Hazeh. What kind of examples?
Shalom pot.
A Shalom pot. Okay, not really. Okay. Aviyiknu mimenu chadashim de bechilov ludavar iefsha de ena kodesh mischala kodesh. Ayin shem. So he says that if you have something which is holy and you want to sell it, you should take its value and exchange it onto money, and by doing so, that will desanctify the original item.
So what is
that what he means over here?
The chli kodesh
yishen the shreitzim lachlivim kachadash miyashen yetsu yechulin sheyirushus lemoichram. Maybe that's what he means. Hello, Shem, the tzorch mikodim lechala lachli kodesh hayishanim al mos. So you take the paroches and you say, I want its value to be exchanged onto this cash, and with the cash you purchase a new paroches. The yiknu mimenu chadashim the bechilof levad just chilof, just going and purchasing something new, going to the store and exchanging it, you can't go take the paroches to the store and say, here's material, and give me new material. Because in halacha, you can't exchange kodesh for kodesh. There's no bartering. You have to exchange it onto cash. You have to exchange, desanctify something onto cash, and with the cash, you then purchase something new. So don't take the material. If you want to go take the material of parochas and bring it into a store, and they'll take it, a pawn shop, and they'll take the material, and they'll give you new material for a new parochas, that is forbidden. You have to take the material, first exchange it onto money, and then you can sell the old parochas to the store. That's what it seems to do. Today people don't do this. Today people, we learned why you need geniza. We learned before that tashmishe kedush need geniza. So what does it mean over here? You have a clue you're going to exchange. I don't know exactly what, I don't know what he means. What type of utensil are you going to exchange? Well, we learned in the past that tashmishe kedush need geniza. I don't know. The ayin b'shari b'shalos shuv b'shari yitzchadik hello the atzei chayim shel sefer Torah muter la'asos se'eldian letzad atachtoin. The ein bezeh choyrada klal ki ad rabbi yois nikra tzad atachton tashmish kedusha ki eichsin boi b'shas habracha b'shas hagba. You want to turn it upside down, right? You have atzei chayim. It's not in the nogeb zman hazeh because the zman hazeh, the atzei chayim, they're totally different. The ones in the bottom are different types of pieces of wood. They're made to hold on top. They're etched differently. But in the olden days, if you have atzei chayim and you want to reverse it for whatever reason, you want to switch it upside down. Is that called the hayrada? Because until now. It was on top, now it's in the bottom. So you can do it because it's mal in the kodesh, because now by putting from the top, putting on the bottom, you're elevating it. That's what he said. But what about you downgrading? You're downgrading the part that was in the bottom going to the top? He says it's not a problem. I don't know why. Okay, so, what?
Right off, being on top is good, but being on the bottom is
good. I don't know. That's what he says. It's not a gear as much as it's not going to happen today in the Atzei Chaim. Today they'll just buy new ones. They're very expensive Atzei Chaim. It's not even the simplest ones cost plenty of money. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Halacha Yud. Okay, one interesting thing he brings on over here. This I've seen very often, and he talks about it. What about writing down in the beginning of the sefer? Some people have a nice sefer, and they write down all of the birthdays of their children. Anyone do that? Yeah. Anyone have in their house?
They used to do that.
Oh, yeah. They take a sefer. Some. You have a family history. You have a Rambam, one of the big, no, nice Rambams. In the Rambam, you write down your birthday, all the yard sites, all family tree. Who gave you the right to do that? Who gave you the right to go write down your family history, all the yard sites, all the birthdays of your grandchildren, and so on and so forth, all the important dates in the Sefer, Sefer Es Kedusha? So he brings down, let me read you what he writes. V'nohagu rabim v'yisrael. This is a time-honored custom in Klal Yisrael.
You're allowed to put your name in it?
Like of course, your name you can for sure put in it. That's real tzarech. That's for me. Otherwise, that you can put your name in it. It's very good to put your phone number in it. That's what I do all the time. That way, someone can return it to you. It's the custom to write down leidas tzetzoim, to write down the date of their children and their grandchildren. Oitarich yoyim pitirasav, it was right on yard sites. I've seen this. I've seen this very often.
Page in the back.
Which sefer? Which slar? Which book? Where do they have it?
Come on, take a look in the back of an Art Scroll sefer. They have it in the back of the
which sefer?
I don't know.
It's a blank page. Look at the Tanakh.
Okay.
The Tanakh has that.
Yeah, it has a page.
Fascinating.
The Art Scroll Tanakh has it.
actually give you a page.
Yes,
it's a time honored custom. So are you allowed to do this? So it says over here that you're not allowed to do it. But let me read you what it says. Oh, see, they have it over here. Look. Okay, the stone edition. The stone edition. Here it is. Our family, myself, my spouse, children. You see, that's how nice it is, grandchildren? Okay, so what this is, it says this is the minhag. I don't know what you want. It says it's the minhag. V'nohagu rabim Yisrael lirshem al kriyat ha'sefer as tarech leidas hazoreim oyi tarech yom bidus harav shal shelish mispachtu lema. So it says here in the lekach hakemach echodosh. I don't know the name of the sefer. It must be very popular. Everybody's quoting it. He says v'hanach lohem li Yisrael b'cholei. Leave them alone. Sheyesh b'hem mishum mitzvah. He says, you know, he targets this mutter. Sheyesh, even though it appears to be wrong, okay, if you think about it, why should this be mutter? Hanach lohem, leave, don't, the rabbanim should not get up in shul and make an issue over this. This is not kedai to make an issue over. Hanach lohem lishol b'chol elu sheyesh bohem mishum mitzvah.
What was the purpose?
I guess in ancient times, people had a certain. No, I guess it's something you can be guaranteed it's not going to get lost. You have a chumash, you have a special safe, it was very expensive. People don't have many svarim. And your records, your family records, are extremely important. That's a safe place to keep your family records. It's a safe place where it's not going to get lost. I guess
it treated as a cover. In other words, you have a grandchild, you put them in the safe.
In the safe, right? Okay. Well, people put money in, that's for certainly awesome. You're not going to put money, if you don't want to put paper in a safe, empty blank paper.
The story with the Rashash.
Yeah, he got,
put money
and he forgot where he put him in the.
He paid him and he said he didn't get the money.
He put the money in the safer. Okay, so this is. I then once heard it by J.J. Schachter. He was an assistant to Rabbi Leo Young. Rabbi Leo Young was a very, very famous rabbi. And what was the name of the shul?
Jewish Center.
So he was saying. When he took over his position, he was still there, like the rabbi emeritus, Rabbi Leo Young. My father knew him also. So he was still Rabbi Emeritus. So he would come in. He would always come. He had an office, and at the same time, Rabbi J. Schachter, he was the rabbi. He was the pulpit rabbi at that time. So he said he would always have long conversations with him, and he had a very unique filing system. Rabbi Leo Young, what was the filing system? That when he came across something very interesting, an article or a newspaper clipping. And he was always learning about Leo Young. So he would take whatever, the newspaper or the article, and he would put it in the safer that he was learning at that time. So all of his svarim were stuffed with clippings of newspapers and articles and whatnot. And that was the way he kept records. He was making latsanas. That was the filing system of Rabbi Leo Young. And he found very interesting, fascinating things in his svarim. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Halacha Yud. Halacha Yud. We have to just try to finish this halacha. Am abed kistei akoidesh oiver belav. The loisasun kein lashem lokechem. The loisasay. It is forbidden min haTorah to destroy a sefer Torah. Le'sasun kein la'Hashem elokeichem. It says in the pasuk, "You shall destroy the avodah zarah, but you shall not destroy le'sasun kein la'Hashem elokeichem." From this point, that erasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is a le'sasay. Now that applies also midrabbanan to destroy any sefer b'zman hazeh. Hama'abed kisvei koy destroy below belav the le'sasun kein la'Hashem elokeichem. V'tzrichim limchoyes b'choyches. So you have to make a macha against the binders. What do? They take old svarim. This seems to be a minhag from the binders. They take old svarim from Seamus, and they use the old pages as a binder. You cut open the sefer underneath, you would find Seamus. How can you do that? V'yesh utzrichim limchois b'karchei svarim shemedabkin b'seich haluchos inside of the cover. Kisvei kodesh shemos from old svarim. Gam tzrichim lihizahir me'oy kishenaystim svarim kodeshim yicham l'uman oyveid kocham v'mazolos l'karcham mechadosh. If you give a sefer to a professional binder, you have an old sefer, and you go into a professional binder, they should rebind the sefer, so they can put on a new cover. ask them back for the old cover. The old cover has sanctity. Sheyikhu mehem es haluchos hayishanos. Take back the old cover. Lehatzniyam, to put them in gnizah. Shelo yitnei mehu'uman lesefer chol. You should not put them in a sefer chol. Let's go through the halacha. Ein leichem sefer Torah mitfilu mezuzah menarev yukhavim. Umazolus b'yosef v'chleidimim. If a guy comes in from the street and wants to sell you a pair of tefillin, don't pay. Sometimes Achmar al son, the Goyim, you know, a lot of stories like this. They go and they steal, and they steal the tefillin, and they come into a shul. You have some tefillin, so buy it from them. But don't pay from them an enormous amount of money. Because if you're going to pay them a lot of money, they're going to get encouraged, right, and they're going to steal more. To buy them what they're worth in order to save them from the zilzul, that because if you've done that, no one's going to buy. What are they going to do with the tefillin? They're going to throw it in the garbage. So you have to pay them something. What?
Just lower their price.
The guy stole the $2,000.
I know, it's a very big problem. You're going to pay $2,000. I don't know the answer. A guy walks in. Let's say a guy walks in and he shows you a nice from a bar mitzvah boy. You know, a nice, fresh tefillin bag. Obviously, he stole from a bar mitzvah boy. He took out of his bike. He's on the train. He chapped someone's tefillin, and he walks in. So, how much do those tefillin cost? They cost at least $1,000, right? A kid comes in, a nice, fresh bar mitzvah boy, a shartza.
Tell these kids.
Here. I want. It's $1,000. He doesn't know that. He thinks $50, $100.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what he thinks.
Wants less to get money.
So if you're going to pay him $1,000, his eyes are going to pop out. He'll be back with a lot more.
So,
but that's what they're worth.
You have to find
that's what it costs. It costs $1,000.
No. These guys want very little money. They want money to get rid of it.
You give him $20, he'll be very happy. He doesn't know what it's worth. He has no clue what it's worth.
Kids go eat in the pizza store.
Exactly. Go to the pizza store and go.
They put the tefillin down here. They're over there. And I said, look, what, a guy opens the door.
Even in a shul, even to leave it in a shul, you put it in the shul on the coat rack. A guy
exactly.
Walking off the street and take
exactly.
away the tefillin. He goes into another town. I have some tefillin. I want to sell it at $100. It's really worth at least $750 for sure. For sure, it's worth. Probably could be worth $1,500. Are you going to go pay him $1,500? Well, according to the same logic applies. You're going to pay him $1,500. He'll be encouraged. He'll go and start stealing a lot more. So you don't do so. You only pay. You pay a lesser amount in order not to encourage him. Okay, I don't know exactly what the price is. How you make the calculation? But you have to keep in mind not to go mislead him. You're not to mislead him to steal more kisvei kodesh. Chayav liknos. You should engage him in conversation to convince him to give it to you for a cheap price. He'll give it to you for a small amount of money. Let's say he wants an enormous amount of money. You're not responsible. Then don't buy it from him in order not to encourage him to steal more. Let him keep it, and he's not responsible what happens to it. Don't say, I'll give you $5. If you give him $5, it wasn't worth the tircha, it wasn't worth the risk of being caught. He'll just run out, he'll throw it in the garbage. You need a psychologist. You need a real good psychologist in order to analyze the situation. What is the amount of money you should offer him that he should not be mezalzel, and what is the amount of money that's too high that he should not take advantage in the future? Halacha Yud Beis. Well, let's go through this and we'll come back and discuss some other yanim. Halacha Yud Beis. Im nafal sefer Torah miyadei chas v'shalayim. Okay, this happens every so often. The sefer Torah falls down. Afilu ben artikel. Even if the sefer Torah is in the mantle. Tzarech lehisanos. You must fast. The one who dropped the Sefer Torah certainly must fast. What about everyone else in the shul? So the custom is people who saw. The custom is this the custom sakalacha. If the person, whoever saw the Sefer Torah fall, should fast. If you were in shul and you did not see the Sefer Torah fall, so it depends. Every rav is different. But the derech klal, when I what the same room. If you're in the same room, if you are in the same room and the Sefer Torah falls, but you did not see it fall. So derech klal, the minhag ha'olam is derech klal. You cannot generalize that you do not have to fast. The only ones who fast when the Sefer Torah falls are the people who actually saw the Sefer Torah fall down. Yeah.
In other words, you mean in the act of falling, or
on the ground? On the ground. If you see it on the ground, even in the mantle, even with the mantle, you have to test. If the even if, so, he brings down here the pitzvah, all different variations of the eight chayim. If only one eight chayim falls down, let's say it's hagba, and he loses one of the atzei chayim, and the other one never fell on the ground, you have to still fast. Mm-hmm. I heard a shaila a year ago where in the yeshiva, the Sefer Torah, they did hagba, it fell where the bottom of the atzei chayim was on the ground, but it never.
The cloth
didn't lay down. So they asked, the tzakwas, they didn't fast. Here in the Pesach Shuvah it says you have to fast, exactly the Shaila, where it did not lie down, but the Atzei Chayim was touching the ground. He says here in the bottom you have to fast. But my Shahaya, in the local yeshiva, in this neighborhood, it fell down. They asked Gedolei Yisrael, and they passed in that since the Sefer Torah did not mamash fall down, you were still holding it, and even though the end of the Atzei Chaim were on the ground, you do not need to fast.
When we were kids, we learned somebody drops it, God forbid, the person who drops it has to fast 40 days.
We don't do that. No one does that. Yes, one day. Right, there is such a thing if you fast 40 days. Yeah, there is such a thing.
I don't very much. In the mid-60s, I had changed the Torah. I had left the hair probably 4 in the morning. Sefer Torah bounced off the beamer while everybody was dancing. Everybody was standing by watching, and he came down very hard. They went to Rav Moshe immediately to ask him what to do. And it was a sliding scale. Those who were nearest to the beamer and saw it, he said it was Poshea. Was nobody was standing and holding it, and the mantle was on. I mean, say the Torah wasn't horrible, but he passed.
You have to fast.
Gave them a long period of time to fast, and as you got further away, people had some of the people were in the room, but their backs were to the Sefer Torah. They were in the corner. It was like a very big base medrash, and he still made them fast at least one day. And because he said they're just guilty of Shia was that they put it down in the beamer, they danced it, and it said
scary stuff.
And just popped off the beamer at the
floor. I heard in Boston, maybe it was 2 years ago, Sefer Torah fell, and the rabbi there, he made a Yom Tainis, they lain Vayichal, everyone on a Sunday, the following Sunday, everyone in the community in his shul had to come to the shul, and they fasted, and they lain Vayichal, he made a whole big thing out of it. Okay, so every situation is different. If Derech Lav, Sefer Torah falls, you do, it's not something to be light of. If tefillin fall, if tefillin fall in the bag, you don't have to fast. If the tefillin are in the zekel and they fall on the floor, you need not fast. You should give it stock. Give a little stock. But let's say the tefillin fall, it's not in the kiss. The tefillin are, you're holding the tefillin, they're raw and they fall on the floor. Then you have to fast. Only one who has to fast, the one who dropped the tefillin. But the people who saw the tefillin fast do not need to fast. It's not like a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, anyone who saw the Sefer Torah on the floor has to fast. Tefillin, the only one who has to fast is someone who actually dropped.
Cover is on.
No, if the cover is on, you do not need to fast. But if the cover is on the tefillin, if the tefillin is in the box, and the box falls on the floor, you don't have to fast. But if the tefillin is out of the box, and it falls on the floor, you have to fast. Only the one who dropped the tefillin, not anyone else. Also, look at a pasuk b'li sirtut. You're not allowed to write a pasuk. Now, you know in the Sefer Torah, you know that they are etched into the Sefer Torah. There are lines. There are lines that are etched into the Sefer Torah. So you're not allowed to write a line unless you etch those lines. And that applies to every single line of the Sefer Torah and every single line of the Megillas Esther. But tefillin me'ikar hadin, you only have to be masarti at the top line. We, Mizman HaZemachmir, we are masarti at all of the lines of. So tefillin you don't read, tefillin are hidden. It's not meant for reading. A Sefer Torah you read from. So it has to be perfectly. The reason why you do Sirtut is to be neat. When the Sofer writes, he has a guide and it's a straight line. So what do you read? You read a Megillah and you read a Sefer Torah. But you do not read. You do not read your tefillin. Your tefillin are wrapped up, they're hidden inside. So you need not, Iker HaDin, be mesarted every line of tefillin, only the top line needs sirtut. Halacha l'mayis, l'machmeh, we mesarted all of the lines, mezuzah as well. Also, l'chtai pasik v'li sirtut, yesh, amen, to also another halacha, this is a very important halacha, people are not nichshol, they're not careful in this halacha, to also l'chtai divrei chol b'chsav ashuris, sher koisvim boi ha-Torah. It's not the proper thing to use the k'sav ashuris for anything other than Sefer Torah.
So that's all they do?
No, they don't do that. That's
a lot
not so.
Of people don't put
it's not so. Ksavashuris. Ksavashuris is a very.
In English, they don't.
No, no.
Rashi.
No, no regular black letters, like the Sefer, like what we're reading. Ksavashuris is the Ksav of the Sefer Torah.
Right.
The thick black letters.
In the style of the Ksav.
Right, there's a lot of halachas. All the Ksav. So it's not the right thing, like they print invitations. That's very not so common. But sometimes they have signs. They have signs to invite you to something. And the person by the computer, he likes a nice font. That's another issue. That's another issue because you're not allowed to write a pasuk. So you have to write a complete pasuk without sirtut. That's a different issue. We'll get to another time. They don't use ksav ashuris. They use regular, like the Sefer. The block letters. No, the same ksav that appears in the Sefer Torah. The same ksav that appears in the Sefer. So sometimes people who make signs, they make fancy signs, they use, that's not ideal. It's not the best thing to do to use ksav ashuris. The only time you use ksav ashuris is for Sefer Torah, it's filling mezuzos. It's not a nice thing to make a nice invitation or a sign for some event to use ksav ashuris. It's a very big yetzer when they invite you to hachanos the Sefer Torah. So since all that are Sefer Torah, so then they like to use ksav ashuris, but that's not really the right thing to do. Okay, there's more to discuss. Believe me, we'll pick this up tomorrow. We'll finish up some of the shiurim, some halacha tomorrow.